The Tech Leaders Toolbox podcast is brought to you by Paul Simpkins and the Boldly Lead program, focusing on helping tech leaders like you end the frustration of low-performing teams and losing excellent employees so they can increase productivity by 50%, go home on time, and sleep better at nights.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Leaders Toolbox. I'm Paul Simpkins, and we're here because how you lead today determines how your team succeeds tomorrow. And this podcast is for all of you business owners, executives, and managers in technical industries who know that you need to become a better leader. And better leaders get there by a commitment to grow and become better each and every day. Now, this is episode number 36 of the podcast. And you know, no individual, no team, no organization ever makes significant and sustainable progress without a very key element. So if something seems amiss, this might be why. Today, let's talk about how trust is currency for a leader. Are you ready? Let's go. Have you ever been in a situation with other people where, well, something just doesn't seem quite right? You know, something seems to be missing somehow. There's an uneasiness in the air and in all the conversations. It just really stands out. And this really stands out among teams. Discussions about work and assignments just seem to have this air about them. It's strange. Something just doesn't quite feel right. And then it hits you. There's a lack of trust. Either you don't trust them, or you get the eerie feeling that they don't trust you. It may even be both. As a result, things are not flowing. Work is not nearly as productive as it could be. The team is not effective. They're not working together well. They're not working with you well. You may even be missing deadlines. Communication suffers. The team just doesn't seem to mesh together. And until that is resolved, it's only going to get worse. It can mean the death of a team or an organization. Now, some years back, UCLA did a study of 1,300 executives around the country, and they asked them for five traits that were keys to advancement for employees. All 1,300 of them included integrity somewhere in that list. All 1,300 of them, 100%, included integrity in the list. But here's the real kicker. Out of that group, 71% of the executives rated integrity as the number one trait. And integrity comes from trust. You can't have integrity without others trusting you. So obviously, being trustworthy is a critical character trait if you want to move up the corporate ladder, keep your employees, or build your customer base. Bob Berg, the author of The Go-Giver and also Endless Referrals, will tell you that all things being equal, people will do business with people they know, like, and trust. I hearken back with this to when I was a Boy Scout, and I'm still a Scout leader within the program. But back when I became a Boy Scout, we had to learn the Scout Law, 12 points of the Scout Law. The first law of the Boy Scout Law, which defines how a scout is supposed to live their life, is a scout is trustworthy. And here's the explanation they use. A scout always tells the truth. He is honest and keeps his promises. People can depend on him. See, our trustworthiness is also quite obviously a key to any of our relationships with others, both in business and outside of business. If your spouse or significant other can't trust you, the relationship is destroyed. Once your friends learn not to trust you and count on you, they simply will no longer expect anything from you and eventually will stop being around you or having you around. When your coworkers can't trust you, you're not going to be able to function as a team. If your employees can't trust you, they're going to become disengaged, productivity suffers, not to mention the bottom line, and your turnover will be high because people will go elsewhere. It's been said before and actually established in some studies, people don't quit companies, they quit bosses. And a lack of trust is one of the primary reasons they'll do that. And another thing you need to remember about this is that there's no such thing as being sometimes trustworthy. You know, there's some things in this world that do have gray areas, but trust is not one of them. You're either trustworthy or you're not. And so I mentioned earlier how trust is currency for a leader. And this is what I mean. When you put your trust on the line there, you are spending that currency. And every time you betray a trust, it's instead of investing your currency, you're wasting your currency. And when that currency is gone, when the trust is gone, that currency you have as a leader is gone. And you will no longer be effective as a leader. Because without that trust, you cannot sustain it. And we know all this, but somehow the focus on trust seems to get lost somewhere in the desire to close the deal or to get what we want out of a situation or out of a conversation or out of a relationship or a negotiation. When we focus on trust, however, we find that acquiring those things and closing that deal becomes easier because of who we are and what we stand for. And when we're trustworthy, we're the go-to person that everyone counts on to make something happen. And that has value in so many ways, including financially. Trust brings opportunity. Many years ago, I was part of a training development company that had just made the Inc. 500 list. And I love to tell this story, and I'm going to leave out other names because it's kind of one of those inside stories in a way. But this company had just made the Inc. 500 list. Our development team was a very small team. We were developing actually computer-based training products. Computer-based and also printed training products for software. I was the third member of the team, as a matter of fact, and I was actually the junior member of the team at the time, but I was given a prime opportunity to be trustworthy. The company focused, again, primarily on software training, and for a particular course, we would typically produce a disk that contained, that tells you how far back it goes, right? We would produce a disk that contained practice training exercises and so forth, and files, and a manual to accompany it. Well, so the president of the company comes to me, and he says, okay, there's this new software coming out, and I want to, for this, because it's going to be big. And by the way, this guy, again, I'm not going to mention his name because when you hear the rest of the story, you'll know why. But he is one of those people with just always has that tremendous vision to be able to see ahead, see what's going to be hot, and be able to take, he's the ultimate entrepreneur, knows how to see what's going to be hot and how to seize those opportunities. So he comes to me and he goes, hey, we got a hot new product that's going to be coming out. I think it's going to be big. I want to redesign the product to fit that. And so even though I was the junior member of the team, he says, I want you to work on this and I want you to come up with a total redesign of the product. No restrictions. You come up with what you creative chooses, what you think is the best thing. But I want it in a week. Wow. A lot of pressure on me there. But I worked hard on it. And I met the deadline and I came up, in fact, I actually beat the deadline a little bit and I came up with a redesign and I turned it in and I thought nothing more of it because, you know, I was just doing my job. I was given an assignment and I did it. And that was kind of my thought process on this. Well, then shortly, a few days afterwards, the president of the company comes into our office space and he says, Paul, I need to talk to you. And he's got kind of a stern look on his face. And I'm thinking, oh, I may have, like, you know, really messed up here. And he says, he pulls a chair up and puts it in the middle of the floor. And he says, I want you to step up on the chair, please. I'm going, okay, this is kind of weird, but okay. And I step up on the chair, not sure quite what's happening yet. And then he leans over and he says, the reason I'm doing this is because I'm too old to get on the floor. And he bends over and he kisses my shoes. And then he raves about the new redesign that I did and telling me what a great product it was. He had placed his trust in me for this new product. I made sure that that trust was well placed, did the best work I could do, turned it in on time because I had an obligation to, and as a result, I was determined not to let him down, and I put in the long hours to get it done. He showed trust, he showed appreciation as my leader, and I was determined not to let him down. That's the impact that trust can have for your team. I did my best to go above and beyond and exceed his expectations. And also because he made himself vulnerable in this way. I mean, again, yeah, it was a silly thing to do to kiss my shoe, but because he made himself vulnerable, I learned I could trust him because he showed respect. And therefore, I knew I could count on him. And from that moment on, until the end of my time with that company, I was prepared to do whatever he asked me to do. And part of what he asked me to do at one time was to help promote our products with partners we had in other parts of the world, is I actually traveled around quite a bit, kind of a road warrior, going around doing workshops and seminars to promote our products. We're still friends today, as a matter of fact, and I still greatly respect and admire him. Being trustworthy is the deal maker or the deal breaker. It's not enough that we're trustworthy as leaders. It's also critical, though, that we can trust those whom we serve. Trust can never be a one-way street. If you want to be trustworthy, you can't expect to be trusted if you don't trust your people. And I'll ask you this, you know, if you don't trust your people, why are they there? I mean, let's be real. One of two things is wrong if you don't trust your people. Either you've got a problem or they've got a problem. Quite honestly, it's probably you. The first move is always ours. If we don't trust them, they will not trust us. You can have a proven track record, but if you don't make it clear, but if you make it real clear that you don't have any trust in your team, they will never fully trust you. They will always think you're hiding something, holding something back, not being completely honest with them. They will always suspect. You may even have their grudging respect, but again, if you don't have their trust, until you first learn to trust them, you will never get their trust. So how do we build that trust on our team? What are some ways to do that? And so I'm going to give you six ways here that you can build trust on your team that I think are going to be highly effective for you. And again, you don't have to apply all these overnight. This comes in time. Some of it takes quite a time to build overall. But again, if you apply these things, I know it will be effective for you. You will be able to build that trust relationship on your team, and I will practically guarantee you, in fact, I will guarantee you, you will be more effective. Your team will be more effective. You will all be happier because we're always happier with people we trust. So here's the first thing. The first thing, and I already mentioned this, learn to trust. Start small. Delegate out small tasks that you would normally do to individual team members. give them a deadline, offer support, and then let them have at it. Just tell them what you expect, not how to do it, not precisely what you want. Tell them what you expect, give them a deadline, let them have at it. And I think you're going to be surprised at the results. Learn to trust. That helps develop those trust relationships. And again, it shows that you are trusting them. And again, most everybody will not let you down. Yeah, you will occasionally run into the odd person that no matter how much trust you put in them, just will not come through. Keep in mind, they're a rarity, not the norm. Here's the second thing. Produce results. When you have a proven track record of accomplishing things with people, then people will trust you to do the things you say you're going to do. Meet the deadlines or accomplish the task, no matter how challenging it is. Here's the third thing, and this is always a sticky one because we like to offer things, we like to have conversations and offer things to people, but whenever you give your word, whether it's to an employee, whether it's to your boss, whether it's to your customers, give your word only when you mean it. Don't ever make a promise you can't possibly keep. There's the old saying of under-promise and over-deliver. The idea behind that isn't try to keep expectations lower. The idea behind that is to keep from promising things that you would be very hard put to actually do. Don't tell them they can have it in a week when it already takes 2 weeks in order to do it. Don't promise it. And here's the other thing that goes along with that. This is the fourth point. Keep your word at all cost. This is critical. When people know that no matter what you are going to do, that no matter what, you're going to do what you say you're going to do, trustworthiness grows and builds over time. So keep your word at all cost. And again, it may cost you. It may cost you things you didn't expect it to cost you. Things may get in the way. People don't care about excuses. Your employees don't care about an excuse why you couldn't keep the promise that you made 2 months ago. All they care about is that you promised it, you did not deliver. Number five is be consistent. Consistency is the key to both trustworthiness and integrity. People need to know what they can count on. And I have worked for bosses that would come in one day and be the nicest person in the world, and the next day be a tyrant. Sometimes that would all happen within the scope of a day. Sometimes it would go back and forth throughout the day, almost like they were bipolar. And again, you never knew what you could count on. You never knew what to expect. You never knew how to prepare for it. And in that case, with that kind of inconsistency, people are going to trust you less because they don't know what to expect from you. Consistency sets expectancy. And then here's the last one is respect yourself and others. When you show respect for other people, respect for yourself, and especially in today's highly charged political climate and everything else, this is especially critical. They may be on the other side of the political spectrum from you. They still deserve your respect. They don't deserve name calling. They don't deserve to be berated. They don't deserve to be insulted. When you attack people's ideals, you're attacking the people. So show respect for other people. Show respect for yourself because, quite frankly, when you behave like that, you're not respecting yourself. You're lowering the expectation for yourself about how you should believe. When you show respect for others, respect for yourself, people will believe and trust that you are who you say you are, and you will do what you say you're going to do. So six things there that will help you develop and build trust with your team, with your customers, within your organizations. And again, I guarantee you, if you apply those things, you will be highly pleased with the results. Focus on building trust first within your organization, and it's going to help you go far. We'll be back in a moment.
While you're here, take a moment right now to subscribe to the Tech Leaders Toolbox podcast and leave a review. That way, you will always be up to date on the bold and innovative leadership principles we are sharing here. And come join the Tech Leaders Toolbox Facebook group as well, where you and other leaders discuss these concepts in more detail and we answer your questions. Subscribe today and share this with your friends.
All right. Well, this week we have, again, at the end of the show, I'm a big fan of outdoor cooking. I do every kind of outdoor cooking you can do. I love cooking over an open fire. I have like my dream setup I hope to get one day that will be a fire pit with all this equipment around it to cook over an open fire. I have a smoker and a grill, and I do a lot of that. I'm a camper, as I mentioned earlier, Boy Scout. And so I do a lot of cooking with Dutch ovens and cooking on camp over campfires and on camping trips and so forth. So I love any kind of outdoor cooking. And I love it so much, I've actually created a group on Facebook called Smoke and Ash. And it is all about outdoor cooking. And me and all of my friends are out there and we're sharing recipes. We talk about what we're doing this weekend, what we're throwing in the smoker, what we're going to put on the grill. We show pictures of stuff we've made. We share recipe ideas and so forth, the latest gadgets and equipment. And again, it's called Smoke and Ash. And I invite you to come out and join us on that group. I think you'll really enjoy it and get a big kick out of it. It is all that, all friendly, no advertising, nobody promoting themselves, just a lot of fun and camaraderie. That's the Smoke and Ash Facebook group. And what I like to do here on the show is every week I like to share an outdoor cooking recipe. Sometimes that comes from one of my friends. Sometimes it comes from other resources. Some are my own recipes that I share. When I have a guest on the show, I'll invite the guest to share some of their favorite recipes. And we've had some great ones. One of the ones that was really, really good that I really enjoyed is when I had Tana Green on. And Tana shared a recipe for a grilled pound cake and peaches recipe as a great dessert. And my wife fell in love with that. So now every time we have a cookout, my wife makes me make that. Hope Tana hears that. She'll like that. So the recipe I want to share this week is called Easy Chicken Fricassee. Easy Chicken Fricassee. This is, again, and the name tells that it is an easy recipe. You're going to do this with a Dutch oven. And again, this is something you could easily do inside as well in an oven if you don't like outdoor cooking. But this is going to be outdoors in a Dutch oven with coals. And but also, it's good to have a burner beforehand or, again, have lots of hot coals ready. Now, the ingredients you need for this easy chicken fricassee is you need two cut-up chickens, usually the what they call the fryer-type chickens. You need two chickens cut up. You need about four onions chopped up. As you might think, this makes a lot. You need olive oil, about a cup of olive oil, about 1.5 quarts of water, about 1/2 cup of flour, and then you need a teaspoon of salt, black pepper, a whole bunch of parsley, either fresh parsley chopped up or you can use dried parsley, and you need cayenne pepper. So what you're going to do is you're going to put the flour, the red pepper, the black pepper, and the salt in a gallon Ziploc and mix it up good, and then put each piece of chicken in there and shake it to coat it real well. Then you're going to get yourself a cast iron skillet, or again, you could use, if you have a large Dutch oven, you can use the large Dutch oven and put it over the coals and get it nice and hot. Throw the olive oil and the onions in that skillet and then put all your chicken pieces in there. And what you're looking to do is just brown the outside of the chicken. So get it nice and brown. Once it gets browned, then you're going to add your 1.5 quarts of water. And you'll let that cook on the coals until that chicken is tender. You may want to occasionally stir it around a little bit. What will happen is because of that flour you put in the coating on the chicken, all of that water is going to turn into a nice gravy. And again, typically with this, if you got nice hot coals going there, cooking that chicken until tender is probably going to take a good half an hour, maybe 40 minutes for that chicken to get nice and tender. It helps that you're using the liquid to cook it. And then, but about 10 minutes before you're ready to serve it, now you're going to add the parsley in there. And you can season it with a little bit more of the red pepper, cayenne pepper, and even a couple of shakes of Tabasco if you want. Kind of stir that in there, and there you go. That's easy. Easy chicken fricassee. Take those chicken pieces out, and people can just put it on their plate. And that nice gravy, if you make some rice on the side, you can put that gravy over the rice and over the chicken. Oh, and it is oh so good. And all that chicken will just kind of fall off the bone there. It'll just be so good. And that's it. Easy chicken fricassee. If you like that recipe, you can go out to the Smoke and Dash Facebook group. And I always post the recipes from the show out there. And you can find it out there and download it. Or you can just send me an email at tltoolbox@boldlylead.com. All right. Well, that's it for this week. So again, we talked about building trust on your team in 6 ways in which you can build that trust and how trust is currency for a leader. Remember, there's no such thing as being sometimes trustworthy. You either are or you aren't. If you're listening to this on a podcast app, don't forget to leave us a rating. Give us a 5-star rating. Refer this to your friends if you think they would benefit from it. I hope you got a lot of value on it. And be sure and tune in next week when we'll have another episode. And also, go on out to Facebook. We have a Tech Leaders Toolbox Facebook group as well, and you can find us out there. And we extend the conversations that we have during the show out there on the Tech Leaders Toolbox. All right, until next week, go on out and be the leader you were meant to be.